Mekhi Luke to play it in. Everything sealed off. Gets it into Graham. Back ahead to Spee. It's going to be Spee Mekhi Luke all the way to the cup. Right hand.
Got it!
Balls. He hit it. And the Jayhawks reign supreme in the Sunflower Showdown.
Brian Haney.
Yo, Benella. Kick it one time, boy.
Yes, Brian Haney's with us. Kick it one more time, baby. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, it's going good. I love the drop.
Yeah, I thought you might appreciate that. We had so much fun with you last week, especially talking music at the end, and we'll talk a little bit more music here towards the end of this segment as well. Brian Haney, go ahead.
I guess in this instance, Spee is Vanilla, right?
Yes.
Vanilla, win it one more time, boy.
I want you to incorporate that into one of your calls this year, all right? Do me a favor. Hey, somehow incorporate Vanilla into it. That'd be great.
We'll see what we can do.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us, brought to you every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. Do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701. Gee, I don't know. What should we start this week's segment with, Brian? I know. How about the Sunflower Showdown the other night? KU and K-State. Before we get to the ending, I had, you know where I'm at. There's a lot of KU fans, but we are outnumbered by K-State fans out in this area. And K-State fans, I was getting all kinds of text. And when you get into this KU K-State rivalry, and especially in basketball, football, there's not a lot of banter from KU yet until KU gets better. It's the, we have no chance in Lawrence. We might be able to beat them in Manhattan. I had some people text me saying, why don't we just forfeit and save the gas money and don't bother going to Lawrence? And I said, you know, I think K-State's going to hang around for a while. I think KU will win by 10 or 11 points, but I think K-State is an improved team. KU hasn't had a tendency to put some of these teams away recently, per se. And so I thought it would be a decent game, but I don't think anybody ever dreamt that would come down to a non-call by the officials.
Yeah, I would have guessed the same margin of victory that you threw out there. Absolutely. I would have thought, because in my estimation, K-State is an NCAA tournament team, and I felt that back in October when you and I were talking, you know, when I was in Kansas City and we were talking about the Big 12 preseason poll. I thought they were horribly slighted then. So I expected them to compete, but in Allen Fieldhouse, you always think Kansas will go on one or two of those runs that pushes them out at more than an arm's distance, and they win it relatively comfortably, and we get to hear the Rock Chalk chant and all that. You know, 48 seconds to go, here it picks up, we got this one in the bag. Not the case on Tuesday night. And obviously it leaves a lot of Jayhawk fans concerned, not just that they didn't win emphatically, but the fact that they gave up 88 points one game after giving up 80 points to the folks down in TCU country. It's a defensive effort that Bill Self has called the worst defensive team he's had in his 14 seasons there. And he's probably right. You know, you don't have the premier backline shot block, shot alterer like a Jeff Withey or a Cole Aldrich. Udoka was going to become the closest thing to that this roster would show. And without him, you're down to 9 scholarship players. The guards are having to play a ton with the 4-guard, 1-big rotation, which I think limits some of their defensive effectiveness. But quite frankly, we can't put it all on that. I think Bill Self said it best yesterday in a TV interview that's going to air tonight on Spectrum Sports in Kansas City that he and I did, where he said, we just haven't been bringing it in terms of competitive juices. And he says, we've sensed it, you know, in some of the pregame shoot-arounds that some of these guys haven't quite shown up with that same determination and want-to factor, and it's carried over into the games, with the exception of Landon Lucas. And Landon, obviously, ever since the Udoka news, has been playing with his hair on fire. 12 rebounds at UNLV, 17 rebounds at TCU, 12 on Tuesday night to go along with a career-high 18 points. He's become their most consistent player in terms of effort and energy. And they want that to be contagious and infectious throughout the rest of the roster, and especially to spill over on the other side of the floor. And so I think to your question and your point about what we thought it would be and what it ultimately became, give K-State a ton of credit. And for all the purple-clad folks wearing the Power Cat today listening to your show, I'm impressed with your team. I've been impressed with Bruce Weber. I want to turn into a Bruce Weber apologist, but a year ago when everybody was giving him a lot of grief and wondering about greener pastures and all that, I said to myself, I think this is going to be a tournament team if these three freshmen do what the four freshmen becoming sophomores did at Texas Tech last year, which allowed Tubby Smith's team to go from four or five league wins to 9-9 and in the dance. And I really felt that'd be the case this year, and I think they're on path to do that. So for those that were giving him grief and wondering about, you know, where's this program headed under Weber, I think losing Marcus Foster, you know, set him back a year, obviously, but it was the right move based on everything he was going through. And they've reloaded now, and it's taken a couple of years to do it, but I think this is a team that could finish in the top six or seven in the Big 12. And if they're in the top six, they should certainly be an NCAA tournament team. And absolutely, Kansas is going to be leery going into that rematch game in February in Bramlage Coliseum. But on the other side of the coin, KU flat out didn't bring it defensively, and so I think you've got credit to be bestowed upon the Cats, but you got some concern on the KU side, and that's why it took a Steve Mikhailuk buzzer beater to win it.
More on the final play here in a moment, but I want to get back to piggyback what you were talking about in regards to the KU defense. And I heard Coach Self say this. I don't know if it was earlier this year. It may have been in the offseason, and I thought it was so, so correct. And that is, you look, Coach Self said, when you're a team that struggles to score, you understand that you have to get stops in order to win. And probably the team that was the greatest example of that was the team that went to New Orleans and lost to Kentucky in the finals. That was a team that didn't win pretty, didn't score a lot of points, but Thomas Robinson, Jeff Withey, Elijah Johnson, Tyshawn Taylor, they played defense. They would hunker down. They would get stops when they had to, but they knew that it wasn't going to be easy to score. And I've talked with various coaches at various levels, and they've talked about how when you have a great offensive team, this is super. You know that you can score a lot of points, and if you're behind, you can usually rally. But the flip side of that is when you're so good offensively, you know you can score easily, so you don't focus or hunker down as much as you should on defense. Do you think that's part of the equation for Kansas?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there is that perhaps false sense of security that we'll always get the last laugh, last bucket. And there might be a false sense of security that we're going to catch a break or something good's going to happen whenever we're at home. Coach has only lost here 9 times in 13 and a half seasons, and so don't worry, we'll figure it out. And I kind of had that feeling when KU would push ahead by one or two baskets, 2 or 4 points, and yet not put the foot on the throat of K-State and finish them off, giving up, you know, some high percentage looks on the heels of a big bucket on one end. K-State gets a shot at the rim on the other side. You're thinking, how'd that happen? And so you hope that that's something they can get rectified fast. The good news is, while this is not going to turn into an elite-level Bill Self defensive team, because he's had some really, really good ones with personnel that just flat-out isn't on this roster, I do think, though, it is going to turn into a much-improved defensive team, because if there's anything that's a staple or a calling card of Coach Self, it's defense and it's toughness. And I think you can expect him to pull whatever potential this team has in those two categories out of them in the coming days. He's not going to snap his fingers and make it well overnight, you know, versus Texas Tech on Saturday. But I do expect a much more inspired effort, you know, versus this Red Raider team that can put a lot of points on you. And I think, again, is very much an NCAA tournament caliber team. So, to me, if Bill Self, if he was known for being this amazing offensive coach that never really got down and defended, and here we are halfway through the season and we're talking about a team struggling defensively, you might have some concerns. But I think he can pull a little bit extra out of every one of these guys, because that's really been his staple, and make it a better defensive team. Maybe not ever a great defensive team, because keep in mind, he's had some good ones. In 9 of his first 13 years here, they finished in the top 8 nationally in field goal percentage defense. This club may not get to that point without the backline defender that many of his previous teams have had. But I think all the guys on the perimeter can certainly do a better job. And I think that when they're doing their job, it allows Landon Lucas to stay back on his man and not have to slide over on help side defense, which many times either leads to a foul or a penetrating pitch, which leads to an easy hoop. Everybody can toe the rope a little bit stronger around the perimeter. I think that's where it starts for this Kansas team defensively.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each week here on the Sports Ticket at 9:30 by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them 738-5701. They specialize in farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up. I think everybody listening is waiting for this one. And that is the way the game ended. We heard the call there on the Jayhawk Network, and Sfi with the layup that wins the ball game for Kansas. And I kid you not, I can't make this stuff up. I had a high school game on Tuesday night, and when I got home, I was able to watch the second half. And I'm sitting on the couch and with my wife watching the game. And when K-State got their final possession, the game's tied at 88 apiece, I turned to my wife and I said, this is a really good game. I hope there isn't a controversial ending. And I was thinking more of the terms of KU fouls K-State, but there's a non-call, so they let it play out. K-State fans will be mad. Or the KU gets the ball back and they score, but they got to go to the foul line because there's a questionable foul call on K-State. But I never dreamt that there would be a KU player allowed to take four steps and lay it in at the buzzer to win the game. And it was an obvious traveling call that should have been called by the officials. And you said a little bit ago that Bill Self's only lost nine games at Allen Fieldhouse, and that goes back to what you were saying, was you think that something good's going to happen when you're at Allen Fieldhouse. Even when you're down, what was the last time they played Missouri in there? It was a crazy game, down 20. They came back, found a way to win. That's happened a lot under Bill Self and even Roy Williams before him. And in this case, something went KU's way again, but the perception out there is, oh, yeah, that happens all the time at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because
yes.
That's not the only place where
yes.
whistles are swallowed in the final minutes. I think we see that most places in college basketball, in the final seconds, I should say, when guys are allowed to play on. Now, having said that, should it have been a travel? Absolutely. I think we can all see that clear as day. I'm also a big believer, though, that, man, there's numerous calls throughout a game that could tilt the scale and flip the balance the other direction. Mm-hmm. And this was a game that truly had several kind of head-scratchers on each side. I think both these teams were having to adjust because in the first half, we had 14 total fouls in 20 minutes. In the first 8 minutes of the second half, there were already 12, and one team was in the bonus at the 12-minute mark. And so I think it wasn't a very consistent whistle. They were playing catch-up a little bit in that regard. Then you would see fouls go away in certain stretches, and you're thinking, my goodness, where was the whistle there? And they make up for it with a ticky-tack whistle, you know, a couple of times later down the floor, which had both head coaches, you know, up in arms. And so I guess we could say this about any game, but any time it comes down to a play at the end, I think both teams would tell you we had previous chances. And obviously K-State fans have every right to be upset and wish that they had at least overtime there. But at the end of the day, they had a wide-open three, you know, inside of 10 seconds to go, and then an offensive rebound in the paint. I thought when Owundu got that offensive board, it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as he is, as good as he'd been, 6 of 9 that night, I thought they had it. And then it's fumbled out of bounds. And so, yes, there should have been a travel. But obviously, I think you know, K-State driving home on that bus probably was kicking themselves thinking we had our chances too and didn't capitalize earlier.
Don't you think, and I thought this, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that K-State can take more out of that 2-point loss than KU can take out of that with a victory?
Oh, absolutely. 110%. I think that there's a feeling that we belong, we're legit. Because as good as their start to the season was at 12-1, a lot of people questioned the strength of the schedule and, you know, have they really beaten anybody? And while you didn't close that one out, and it's going to take closing out a couple of road games of significant caliber to enhance that tournament resume, I think that showed to Wildcat Nation, I think that showed to anybody that might have the slightest shred of doubt in the back of their mind in that locker room, that this isn't just an inflated schedule or an inflated record because of our schedule. We just went into one of the toughest venues in college basketball and played them within a bucket. And you say what you want to say about KU's defense right now and students being gone and all that, but that was in the fog where they hadn't won since 2006. And this is a series where, wait, I mean, it's 45-5 in the Big 12 here, okay? I mean, it's 90%. And so I think any time you play within a bucket in the other team's house, you got to take something positive away from that if you're the team on the five end of that 50-game Big 12 ledger I just gave you. So I hope you know, the K-State fans can at least, you know, back off of the traveling talk on Twitter and at least, you know, pump up their guys and their effort and believe that, hey, we got something here, because there are things such as moral victories when you consider circumstances like that. And I think that had to be one for K-State.
One of the biggest problems I had with the non-call at the end of the game really didn't have anything to do with the game per se. It was kind of what you alluded to just a moment ago, that we lost track of how good that game was. We should have been talking about Landon Lucas having another great game. We should have been talking about Josh Jackson having an unbelievable first half. Should be talking about Dean Wade coming of age with a terrific game and a career-high 20 points. Talk about K-State maybe overachieving, or maybe they're better than people say they are, like you just mentioned. But instead, because of the non-call, that unfortunately took away from what was such a great game.
Yeah, that's the narrative everybody's talking about. And we had all these cute headlines. And shoot, even KU players were owning it. Tyler Self tweeting about Fee's stat line, including 11 points, 2 rebounds, 10 rushing yards, and 1 game-winning shot. I mean, we all get a kick out of that, but you're right. I mean, there were some terrific individual efforts. I mean, look on the Kansas side, for example. Landon Lucas has his best-ever scoring game. Josh Jackson equals his career high with 22. You had a lot of things, storylines that nobody's talking about. I mean, Devontae Graham, the previous 3 games, was struggling to throw it in the ocean in terms of field goal percentage, and he started off 0-for-3 and then proceeds to almost not miss the rest of the night. I mean, he was really good after that and got it going from downtown, and while he was quieter in the second half, they don't win that game unless he has the big, you know, late surge in the first that he had. And so I think these are all things that get lost in the shuffle when you have a controversial finish like that. But certainly, you know, those that are really into this stuff, knee deep in hoops and all that, can look back and appreciate some individual progress and confidence instilling contributions on both sides of the coin. And I think it just sets the stage for what should be a brilliant rematch when these two hook up at Bramlage Coliseum.
Yeah, that'll be on February 6th on Big Monday. Now, KU's next matchup is Saturday at home against a team you're very familiar with, Texas Tech Red Raiders. That'll be Allen Fieldhouse. Tip time at 6:15. You can hear that on Z96.3 The Lake coming up on Saturday evening. Texas Tech fresh off a upset win at home over West Virginia. We saw Iowa State last night nearly knock off undefeated Baylor in Waco. We saw Texas beat Oklahoma State last night. You got to bring it every single night in this conference. And I know going into the season, it was KU and everybody else is what people were predicting. And then, West Virginia could be a challenger. And Baylor, look at them. They've got some great wins. But you look at Texas Tech with a big win, K-State almost beating KU, and then see what Iowa State did last night on the road at Baylor. No matter who you play and wherever you play, you can't just assume you're going to get a W at home, can you?
That's a great way of looking at it. I don't think there's a weak link in terms of, here's TCU twice on the schedule. We're going to get a couple of games there. And, you know, here's Texas Tech. That's 2 wins. Now, when TCU hires Jamie Dixon, real quickly, I think that's a perennial top 6 in the conference team going forward. I really do, because of their geography and all the talent they'll be able to recruit there. He already has 3 4-star guys for next season signed up. They just had a $72 million renovation of that arena, and he's a 4-time National Coach of the Year, 4 different outlets, that is. So that was a huge hire. Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State's doing a great job, and folks forgot just how good Juwan Evans was because he was hurt the second half of the year last year. Phil Forte only played 3 games last year before he had a season-ending injury. And, you know, to get those guys back, that's a backcourt that could take you to the tournament. And Texas Tech, obviously, the fact that people slept on them so much in the preseason, maybe it had to do with the coaching change and all the respect that Tubby Smith deserves. But this is a team that only lost 1 starter from a tourney team, added 2 JUCO All-Americans, and a transfer from Arkansas State who just hit the game winner the other night, Anthony Livingston. And so I personally thought that they deserved to be, you know, picked 5th or 6th in that preseason league poll. And so, yeah, it's going to be tough night in and night out on anybody's home floor. And I think Kansas fans are coming to realize that even at home, we shouldn't expect blowouts as much as we have in seasons past, at least until this team starts to defend better. Because, A, the water has risen with some of these back half of the conference teams, the tide rising there in terms of their caliber and competitiveness. And, B, Kansas isn't locking teams down as well as they used to. So it's going to make for some more exciting action for folks in the fog, more exciting calls for me and Greg, and we'll see, hopefully, the same number of wins when it's all said and done as KU tries to do something only UCLA has done, 13 straight consecutive conference titles.
Yeah, the home game Saturday against Texas Tech, then Tuesday at Oklahoma, and those are the 2 games we'll talk about with you next Thursday here on the Sports Ticket. All right, you ready for the off-the-wall question, Brian?
Sounds good.
You probably know where I'm going to go with this a little bit. I decided to have a little bit of fun with the way the game ended the other night, and I do have a follow-up as well. Besides walking, what is your favorite exercise?
Well, I mean, playing sports, whether it's pickup basketball or, I played a couple of softball leagues in the spring and summertime, is great because it doesn't feel like you're working out. You're just running around, burning calories, having fun. But my typical workout is 30 minutes on the elliptical because I got bad knees now, mm-hmm. and then I go lift after that for half an hour. So that's my go-to if we're talking about a real workout.
Okay, not bad. Now the follow-up off the wall. That is, yesterday, here on our show, we have Tuesdays called Classic Country Tuesday Music. Thursday's Throwback Thursday, and Friday is Freestyle Friday. And yeah, on Wednesday, which is the day after the game, of course, we had a little bit of fun because we had a lot of people that were texting me or calling or emailing, and they wanted to request certain songs that had a lot to do with traveling or walking. And believe it or not, I got some from K-State fans. I know that's shocking, but I also got some from KU fans that were chipping and having fun with it as well. So it was kind of like a fun spin on everything, even though it was a disappointing loss for K-State and a tough way for a game to end. So my follow-up off-the-wall question for you is, what's a song that you can think of off the top of your head that you really like that has the word walk or traveling in it?
You know what? I had several friends texting me kind of in a similar vein on Wednesday morning, and the Gimme Three Steps
yes.
by Leonard Skinner was a YouTube clip that was sent to me. So I don't think he has a stanza in that song about Gimme Four Steps, but that's pretty apropos for what we saw on Tuesday night.
Yeah, we thought that was the best one requested yesterday as well, so great minds think alike. Hey, man, we always appreciate the time, and best of luck with the call Saturday and Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday, Brian.
Sounds good, Wade. Thanks a lot, buddy.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Today brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Once again, KU and Texas Tech, pregame at 5:45, tip time 6:15 this Saturday on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in north central Kansas.